I'm going to do something since it's Valentine's Day weekend. I'm going to talk about men and women and how they're different. Susan and I have been married for over 40 years, and I did not know this till maybe 10 years ago. I wish I'd known this the first decade that I was married. So you guys, since you're not married yet, pay attention. It will save you a lot of work. And those that are married, maybe you've never heard this, and it will help improve your marriage. In Genesis 1:27, it says this. So the first book of the Bible, the first chapter. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, to keep some background, right after this, He creates Adam, one man. But He says here, He created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So in Adam, that first male, that first person, both male and female, somehow or another, mystically were inside of him. I don't want to spend much time because I want to get to something else. But eventually, Adam was put to sleep, and then Eve came out of his side. That represents they're equal. Didn't come out of his feet like a slave, didn't come out of his head like she's over him. They were side by side, they were equal. But as we're going to see, they were not the same. And so I'm going to propose to you that so he had the female characteristics in him, and then when they were split, they went into Eve. And I think most of you know this. But this was the challenge I had when I got married over 40 years ago with the knowledge I had, is that I went into it, yes, I knew that Susan was different physically, and that's why I wanted to get married, okay? But I just assumed that she was just sort of like me, that she thought like me, she acted like me, she behaved like me, just in a feminine version. And we fought a lot, probably more than most of you guys ever fought in your marriage. Why? Because she thought the same thing about me. And so we started to realize, okay, it's not just physically different. There's emotionally different, mentally different, not inferior, not superior, just different. And I believe that when Adam and Eve were separated, it was more than just a physical separation. There were things that went with each person. That's why it's later, or right before then, God told Adam, or Adam realized it is not good to be alone. He needed a partner. He needed a team. And so as I share this one truth, there's a lot of truths, I realized marriage takes work. How many of you have been married for more than a year? Probably not even that long. And I don't know what it is. I think it's God tricks us. Oh, you're such a good-looking thing. Oh, you're so handsome. And we think we're not going to have any problems, not realizing there's not been one marriage on the face of the earth that hasn't had problems, but we're going to be the first. And then sooner or later you realize you're going to have problems. And it's sort of like, we don't really do this in this culture unless you eat sushi. And I learned to use chopsticks. Maybe you ever tried to use chopsticks? I'm not that good at it, but I can eat bigger pieces with chopsticks. When you see the dude over there at the other table using chopsticks on their sushi, you go, this is easy. When you're not married or you've been married not too long, you look at the couples around and go, I'm going to do better than they do. This is easy. But it's sort of like eating chopsticks, or not eating chopsticks, using chopsticks to eat. It takes a little while and you go, wow, this is a little bit harder than what I thought it was. But I want to give you something that I think, turn over to Ephesians 5, that I think will help women understand men a little better and men to understand women a little better. And it's a teaching that's probably came out a decade ago. That's probably when I first heard about it. And so, but the Bible has taught it all along and I never saw it. And if we can ingrain this inside of us, it'll help us to realize they're different but equal. Ephesians 5, verse 25, the famous passage. So turn over there or turn on your iPhone or wherever you want to go. Go to uversion.com on the internet or just listen. You all ready? I'm going to read quite a few verses here, and then we're going to get a pattern out of it. So you'll have to be patient as I read through it. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, All males in here, raise your hand. Okay, you're either a husband or you're a husband going to be. I don't think any of you are widows in here. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Just repeat after me. You don't even have to look at your wife. Love your wife. As Christ loved the church and gave him his life for it. Verse 26, he did this to make the church holy by cleansing it, washing it using water, along with spoken words. Verse 27, then I'm not going to go through all that. There's a lot of theology there. We'll do that another time. Then he could present it to himself as a glory of church without any stain or wrinkle, holy and without fault. Verse 28, so husbands must love their wives. Say again, love their wives as they love their own bodies. A man who loves his wife loves himself. Let's jump down to verse 33. There's some other theology there. It's good, but it's not what we're going to go into today. Verse 33, but every husband must what? Love his wife as he loves himself. And wives should what? What does it say at the end of verse 33? Respect their husband. So this is the key thing. Just going to throw it out there. You can meditate on it and think about it. It says for husbands to love their wives. It does not say for wives to love their husbands. Okay, we're going to go into this a little bit because this is the key here. What does it say? Husbands, love your wives. Women, respect your husbands. Now, I'm going to throw it out. You go, what's going on here? And that's what we're going to talk about in the next 20 minutes or so. And I'm going to throw this out. It is not easy for husbands to love their wives. That's why he's encouraging them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that's not who we are. I'm not talking about the ooey gooey, feel good, listen to some music, do some dancing type of deal, okay? And it's not easy for women, naturally, to respect their husbands. When you start seeing this pattern, you're going to see it in your own marriage and you're going to see it in a lot of other marriages. Now, Should women love their husbands? Yes. But the main thing is to respect your husband. Should men respect their wives? Of course. But the main thing is to love your husband. So let me define this. Love, I'm just going to bring it down to the natural, is affection, attention, adoration, care. Affection, attention, adoration, and care. Respect is this. It's not affection. It's not attention. It's admiration and appreciation. Very few women understand this. Women, so I've observed, love affection and attention. Men don't really love affection and attention. Maybe they love sex, but they don't love affection and attention as much. They love admiration and appreciation. So, what? This is what I'm going to tell you. This is what happened when he separated Adam and Eve at the garden. See, men inwardly are like this. I can't believe she needs all this affection and attention. This is really getting old. I've given her flowers. I've shown up. I've done this or that. Why is that a need? That's just the way they're made. You can argue with it and try to make them like you, like what I did, because I'm a very unaffectionate type of person. I mean, I'm loyal, all that, but I'm not very affectionate. So I didn't think my wife needed any affection, because I didn't need any affection. But I'm made differently than she is, and vice versa. And so women, they tend to give a lot more affection and attention to their man, which is not bad. But what they need the most is admiration for what they're doing and appreciation for getting up, going to work, being faithful for the projects they do. Men are much more project-oriented. Women are much more people-oriented. Now, sometimes this is flipped in marriage, but it is rare. So if you're flipped, just flip it, assume the other side. So let me give you some comparisons. Women, affection. Men, admiration. So women, it's affection for who they are, not how well they clean the house, not for the errands they ran, not for even their jobs. Have you noticed when women get together, they rarely talk about their jobs. They talk about relationships. Men is admiration. When men get together, I don't want to give you a bad complex, women. I'm sure if you've been married long enough, you realize we do not talk about our wives. When women get together, they talk about their husbands, generally, and their kids. Men generally do not talk about their wives and kids. That doesn't mean never. But what do we talk about? The hunting trip. The porch we're building on the back. Our jobs. Is that bad or worse? See, women think it's worse. Well, you should be more people. No, that's how we're made. I've got an article out there. I'll put it in the text message this week. But you can go to craigbcooper.com. There's an article out there. And I don't want to take the time to talk about it, but it's got all the verses behind it. One thing that happened at that split, if you'll understand this, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I believe women got one major characteristic and men got another major characteristic. And that's where all this flows through. Women got the beauty of God. Because you're a whole lot better looking than we are. And men got the power and strength of God. Why? You look through the scriptures. There's tons of scriptures on the beauty of God. It brings creativity into the earth. It brings mercy into the earth. It brings beauty into the earth. Without it, it would be boring. And women do that. When you move into a new house, they're thinking about how to make it prettier. Men are thinking about, okay, this vent is not aligned correctly. Or there's something wrong with the foundation. Or there's something wrong with this. We need both, and we're made that way. Men primarily are meant to conquer, overcome, and take dominion. That's why that you see scriptures about the power and the strength of God. So that's why men, their basic need is admiration, appreciation. Women's basic need is affection and attention. We're going to keep going, but are y'all following me? Well, I don't understand it, Craig. You never will. Just accept it. This is the characteristic you did not get, but we need. Without beauty in the world, without creativity in the world, it would just, be Genghis Khan all the time, okay? Be the Mongols taking over everywhere. So men were taught, give them flowers and give them candy. Do you realize it's not the flowers or the candy per se? It's you thought about them and you gave them attention. If my wife buys me flowers, I think she probably has several times over the 40 years. She says one time. It really does nothing to me. It's like, oh, you just wasted $35. But what I'm looking for is a compliment on something I built well or an idea I had. That's how you appeal to me. For instance, there's another comparison. Women say, and I know this is general, so if it doesn't fit your case, don't send me emails. Women says this, how do I look? I don't think I've ever said that to my wife in 40 years. Now, I know I'm an extreme, but I doubt John over here has ever said, how do I look to Trinity? I don't know. Maybe he has. But women, he's going, wait a minute, I say that every day. Women go, how do I look? What do men say? As soon as I say it, you're going to know it. How did I do? See, one's attention and one's around appreciation. So men never say this. I've broken every single rule here. Okay, like I said, for 30 of the 40 years, I was clueless. Well, probably just 20. The next 10, I just learned to shut up, but I didn't know what to say. You know, you sort of go to a neutral thing where you just don't do something. So men, you don't know what to say. Men never say this to your wife. you shouldn't feel that way. They got more emotions than we did. Doesn't mean we don't have emotions. But you shouldn't, that's one of the worst things to say. You should never feel that way. Instead, you go, why do you feel that way? Or what are you feeling? And I'm going to be honest with you, women, we really don't care. We do care at some basic level because we care about you, but we're going to ask anyway because we're going to grow out of our immaturity to where we care. Now, women, you should never say this. If we're about admiration, appreciation projects, and I hear young women say this all the time, why did you do it that way? Bad, bad, bad. Because you're attacking the core of who they are. I've heard women say, that is a dumb idea. Or what you did was stupid. See, that does nothing to women because they're not about the doing. It would be the opposite of if I said to my wife, that is a really stupid looking outfit. Or your makeup just doesn't cut it. Okay? It's not the words per se, but it's attacking the core of the way God made them. Does your husband do dumb stuff? Yes. Do women dress up stupid sometimes? Yes. But realize their identity's caught up in it, and you just sort of, wow, you look great. Now, if they ask, and there's some circumstances, go, yeah, your makeup looks good. I think I actually like what you had on the other day better. You know, there's ways to do that. Or if your husband comes up, and husbands do this. Why? Because we're made to do. Is anybody perfect? No. Husbands come up with some dumb ideas. We really do. And you don't say that was a dumb idea because you're attacking the core. You think you're attacking the idea, but you're actually attacking them because the idea came from them. And so, have you ever heard the phrase, women, men have a male ego? You've never heard that, huh? One person. It's true from a certain angle. And so, men have a hard time with criticism. So it's hard for you women. You have to dig deep and go, I know this idea is not going to work out well. And a lot of them don't work out well. What you do is you don't attack the idea. You start going, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? But not 48 questions in 2 minutes. One question. And leave it at that. I mean, women go in, they come up with more questions than I do in a year. And they do it in 2 minutes. And that's all right. That's how they're made. But realize men do not defend themselves well, and they don't want to defend themselves well. Maybe a high-level idea? Yes. Here's another comparison. Y'all all right with me? Is this true, if y'all notice this? If you realize how the opposite sex is motivated, it will help you to relate to them better. And this takes practice. So women will say this, just sit with me. And what they're implying is this doesn't lead to sex, okay? Just sit with me. I know I'm extreme, so I can use that as an excuse. I don't want to just sit with my wife. What men say is this, just go do this with me. I don't get off on changing oil, but I like having you there. Men, women just can just sit, and I know sometimes this is flipped, but women can just sit with you because it tells them you're giving them attention, and they need that. It's not a weakness. Just like we need to be complimented on what we do well, it's not a weakness. But men like to hang out while doing something, walking, changing oil, whatever. And it's boring to women. Am I telling the truth? But you do it because that's how he's built. He's meant to do, and you're meant to be with. So for me to sit with my wife, it's boring. But it's not to her. So that's how you show love. And man, you just gut it out and do it. Say, Lord, help me to learn to like this. And you can sort of change to do that. And if you realize it's meeting a need, it helps. And vice versa. Here's another one. Women go, check out this new makeup and jewelry I just got. There's nothing wrong with that. But what is it doing? It's something they're wearing that draws attention to themselves. And that's okay. Or this new purse or this new dress. Don't think I've ever bought a pair of jeans and said, Susan, look at this new pair of jeans. Or this new jewelry. Look at this new jewelry. Why? Because it doesn't do. But what do I do? Check out my new knife that I just got. Check out my new power tool that I just bought. Or if you're really a good Southern guy, check out my new 9mm Ruger I just bought. Do you think they care about your knife, 9mm Ruger or power tool? They don't care. Because those are things you do something with. You cut, you saw, you do whatever. You see, start to see. If you understand this love, the appreciation, admiration versus the affection and attention versus admiration. Let's just call it affection and admiration. You'll start seeing these patterns. Does that mean that the guy's dumb and the woman's not, or vice versa? No, we're just made different. But if we start appealing to that, you know, one of the major reasons, and I'm just going to be honest, why men stop talking to their wives. Now, some people just aren't talkers that much, okay? This is a relative thing. I'm not a big talker. So why would I stop talking less than what I already talk? That's what you got to look at, is the relativism. Is men do not respond to criticism. You see this as couples go along and they've been married longer. The male gets quieter and the woman starts talking more because he's talking less and she's trying to get him to talk more. Bad mistake. The reason he stopped talking, because his ideas and opinions weren't appreciated and they were constantly critiqued. And so women go, okay, well, let me just talk more. No, you actually need to talk less. Back off. And you'll start seeing them open up more. I've seen some circumstances I could tell the women really wanted their man to start talking, but they wouldn't stop talking. You just have to pause and let there be a thing of quiet. And then is this good stuff for you? And then what I've seen a lot, as soon as that male starts talking, they get so excited, they start jumping in and wanting to add to it and give their opinion. And if you notice, he stops talking. You just have to be quiet, let him talk, you'll know eventually, and let him sort of get it out of the set. Well, he never lets me in on his deep secrets. That's because you won't stop talking. Because you crave attention, and they have a hard time. And you get in touch with your emotions easily. Most men don't even know what an emotion is, except anger. I'm exaggerating. So let me give you some love examples, and then we'll close out. So this would be examples that men can do, and I'm encouraging you to do it even if you think this is stupid. Put it on your calendar. Don't let her know, though. Put it on an index card. No, because she may find the index card. But put it somewhere and start practicing this. It will eventually become a little bit more second nature, and you're going to find your wife is happier because you're going with her basic need that came about at the Garden of Eden. Am I wrong on this, women? No, I'm not going to say. Hug and kiss your wife every morning. I do not do that. My wife's going to keep notes. Call her during the day if your job allows. If not, text just to say I'm thinking about you. Well, you go, that's so trivial. No, it's attention and affection. They want to know that if you had the choice again, you would still marry them. After work, call her before you leave for home so that you can know when to expect you. Now, I do that one. Gifts for special occasions should be sentimental, not practical. That's opposite for men. I don't really want sentimental gifts. Every once in a while, maybe. I want practical gifts. Learn how to shop for a woman. The more frivolous, the better. It's not the gift. It's you thought through it. Bring her flowers once in a while, not just on Valentine's Day. When you come back home, give her a hug and kiss. help with the dishes after dinner. What that is saying is, I still think about you, I still would marry you again, and I want to take care of you and protect you. Now, how many men does this do something for you? All right, here's some respect examples. Then we'll close after this. This is for the women. I'm just throwing them out. Respect for a husband means valuing him, appreciating his qualities and contributions, and treating with honor. So what does that mean? Whatever he does around the house, compliment him. Whatever he does for the kids, compliment them. Whatever tasks he does, compliment him. Just getting up and going to work every day when it's not fun, because let's put it this way. I get up and go to work every day. Of course, you know, all my kids are grown, but there was a time I had three kids plus my wife, homeschooling. Do you realize that 95% of every dollar I brought home was not spent on myself? Yes, I paid for the house that I slept in, et cetera, et cetera. But we were sacrificing for the family. So one thing you can do is say, I appreciate you just getting up and going to work when it's not fun. That's a big deal to a guy. And doing it, because he, like a lot of men, could just leave and abandon and it'd be over with. And then keep all the money for himself. So compliment on what he does around the work, around the house, work with the kids. Now this is a big one. This is where women get in trouble. There's something about women that they're a perfectionist about certain things. It has to be done a certain way. If you come home and he mopped the floor just because it was messy and you wanted to help it out, but if it was not mopped to your standard, don't point out where he missed it. Whatever their standard is, say thank you for mopping the floor or whatever. That's a trivial example. Women mess up when they go, I thank you for doing this, but you could have done it this way. Or you could have done it that way. You just blew the whole thing. Because you're attacking his idea, attacking the way you do it. And what happens if you do that regularly, because I've done marriage counseling, been there myself, if you see men sort of drop out of the family, now there's some of it's just pure selfishness, but if you see them drop out and they stop doing stuff, it's usually because they could never make their wife happy to the standard that they wanted it to be. So they just give up. I've counseled so many men, it's like, I can't ever make her happy. And I'm not talking about some nebulous thing, I'm talking about some standard, so they drop out. So compliment them on what you can compliment them. If they are lazy in some area, then don't compliment them on that area. I've had women go, well, he doesn't do anything good. And I'm like, that's not true. He just doesn't do what you want him to do. What is he doing? Compliment him on those things and you'll start seeing him do those things even more. This is a common thing with men flipping it. Well, she doesn't look like she used to. She hasn't taken care of herself. She's not kept herself up. That's because you married her at 21 and now she's 51. Nobody at 51 looks like 21, including you. You've got a beer belly and no hair. So you've got a double standard. I don't drink beer, but you get the point. You got a gut and no hair. And so you've got to guard against that, that they're doing the best that they can with 30 years on them. So compliment them on whatever it is. There's something for the women and something for the men we can always compliment. And then what you're going to do is you're going to see them start improving and wanting to be around you. Nobody wants to be around somebody that criticizes them. I'm going to end with this. The two major, listen to me, this is huge after being married 40 years and lots of counseling. The two major things that will destroy a marriage is what I call the two C's. If you do these two C's, your marriage is going to eventually die. Maybe you don't get a divorce, but the people in it is going to go, I wish I could get a divorce. The first one is control. And these are whole nother messages. And criticism. Controlling them to your standard, to your way of doing things, instead of giving them freedom and letting them be equal. Versus, and then criticism. Those are two killers. Guard your hearts on that, and it will help your marriage immensely. Amen. We're done. Any questions? We have a group this size that works good. Yes, you may get the microphone. Well, we don't... Re-